Dad Bod Rap Pod, episode 16. Let's talk about New York. Like, I love New York. You love New York. Who doesn't love New York? Mm-hmm. Like, not only the birthplace of the culture, but just a fantastic fucking place in general. In general, I think, you know, hip-hop culture was like the vehicle to help our generation understand the greatness of New York. I love 70s dystopian New York movies.
The Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Oh, man. The Warriors, Serpico, Panic in Needle Park. Just that whole vibe. I feel like by not getting stabbed in New York in the 70s, I've missed something. Mm-hmm. That's how I've always felt. So today we're gonna talk about New York now, and kind of where what its place in hip hop culture is and kind of pop culture moving things. If you don't know, and you should know because you clicked on this, this is the Dad Bod Rap Pod. My name is Damone Carter. I am the host here with the illustrious Three the Dad Way. on my right is Mr. Nate LeBlanc. How's it going?
What's up, everybody? I'm an extremely lucky person. I have an aunt and uncle who live in New York City on 83rd and Central Park West.
Damn.
They have my whole life. They have like one of those basement apartments where you see the people's feet going by that I've been lucky enough to be able to stay in several times. So okay. Big shouts to Steve and Linda. They are not hip-hop fans. They were in New York in the late 70s, early 80s, all this time, and kind of didn't even know it was happening.
Wow.
Like, might have read a story in the Post or whatever.
Because that's New York,
and
right?
Now we nerd out about restaurants, so, yeah.
Nice. Okay.
That's me.
Wow.
Okay, and then we have, you know, the writer, the exciter, Mr. Dave Ma. How's it going?
What's going on, guys? Really good to be here again. Man, last time I was in New York, I remember a car driving by and they're bumping Gangstar's Mass Appeal, and I was like, dude, I'm fucking home.
I'm home.
I'm in New York.
Know? Yeah. I grew up in Santa Clara and I felt at home there.
Totally.
You know, so
yeah.
there's just this instant immersion that's amazing.
I remember the first time I saw Linden Boulevard.
Yes, totally.
Like, man, represent.
Right, yeah, let's represent.
Right.
Who wants to represent with me?
The first time I went to New York with my wife in 03, her sister moved out there when Brooklyn was still Lightweight Dangerous. And I kept doing that on every street.
Yes.
And right, she was like, right. Shut the fuck up. Yeah. I don't care. I don't
guys,
care.
Guys, can we get a cab to the 40th side of Vernon?
Yeah. I'm like, this is Flatbush Ave. Like, Flatbush Ave. Right, she's like, yeah, fucking right. Flatbush Ave. Shut
yeah,
up.
That's where I live.
That's where I'm at, where I live. Check it out.
Shout out to Bethany.
Yes. Shout out to Bethany Jones. Well, actually, she moved to New Jersey, but hopefully.
They all do.
Yeah. Hopefully, we'll be visiting them. So yeah, New York definitely plays a central role in culture, obviously the birthplace of hip-hop as we know it in America. And so we all kind of know the history, being students of the culture. But I wanted to talk about where is New York now, you know, the modern-day New York hip-hop. And so we'll talk a little bit about who are the artists that kind of embody the new sound, what is the new sound. But I did want to touch on a little bit, and I hope this isn't controversial for our East Coast listeners, deadass B, that New York is kind of not the center of the hip-hop universe anymore, which is kind of, it's like one day I looked up and I was like, oh shit, it's not about New York anymore.
Right.
Like, when did that happen? Like, when do...
To me, the moment where that happens is when Wayne goes on his insane mixtape run.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And this, okay. He like almost like through the force of the nature of his crazy disjointed rhyming, pulled the center of gravity to Atlanta.
Totally. That's yeah.
And then T.I. kind of finds mainstream success there. Jeezy represents the street side of it. There was always Outkast and things like that representing the kind of more like, you know, utopic side of it, if you will. But I think, I don't know when that was, because I've always been an album guy. I didn't even get the mixtape thing when he was doing it.
Sure.
So I don't know exactly, when is that? Is that like 2000?
07?
Yeah, something like
06,
that.
07?
Yeah.
Something
so
like
at
that.
At least since then, Atlanta has been the center of the universe. And one could make an argument, and I think Jeff Weiss makes a very eloquent argument, that the most creative rapping these days is happening in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
There's L.A.
100%.
Gangster scenes. abstract kind of scenes and kind of mainstream.
Mm-hmm. All at the same time.
Vibes that are just like, that culture is incredible, and he's chronicling it so well on Passion of the Weiss. But I do think in terms of like the force of gravity, the center of gravity, it's still Atlanta.
It's
And then shortly after that with ASAP Rocky and specifically ASAP Yams, and it's like, here are these cats from Harlem, you know, doing the stuff that does not sound like Primo.
Right.
You know, they're
were they the first guys to do that? Well, I don't know. You can make an argument that 50 was definitely feigning a Southern drawl, which always irritated the shit out of me. at one point. But yeah, all of a sudden you look up and then there's New York trap.
Right, right.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, it's nice to see the art form expand. You know, I mean, rap's always been so New York-centric, and I'm with it.
It's also giving us the best show on TV, so
100%. Oh my man, jeez.
Oh my, yeah, we'll do a whole breakdown show in Atlanta one time.
Is the Atlanta of the past New York Undercover?
Oh man.
Look, New York Undercover.
New York hip hop show in the world.
My god. Hey, but they played Souls of Mischief. I remember that was a watershed moment. Because they used to play one joint in their intro. They used to always play one hip hop song in their intro, and one time
Never No More or something?
No,
I was gonna say that.
I think it wasn't 93 till?
I don't know.
I remember it being a Souls of Mischief song, and us being from the Bay Area and kind of claiming them as our own.
If you're gonna pick one, you'd pick that one, right?
Oh my goodness, we were so into it. But yeah, there has been this kind of sea change in terms of the magnetic center of the culture, and so you do have a New York trap thing happening. I think kind of the ASAP Mob is where the forerunners of that. And kind of incorporating in that into their sound. I was surprised to find that the designer guy was from New York.
Is he?
Yeah, I was just like, wow.
I guess you can imitate Future anywhere.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
Exactly. Yeah. It travels. That style travels. But I'm interested to talk about kind of what are the other currents kind of happening that are coming out of New York now, because I think there are some really interesting artists that are in New York and kind of representing, you know, some different threads and not this kind of mainstream Atlanta thing. So we're going to get into that. Mr. Nate LeBlanc, who is your New York cheesecake of the moment?
I think the best artist working in New York right now is Rock Marciano.
He played the auto pour like a chess champ. The wrestlers can. Let's give the man a hand. He used to go hand to hand by the gram. Take a brick and then grind it to sand. Baby girl, my 45 don't jam. Al Pacino with a tan. Ghetto casino, go casino with Vino. For nothing under a Sino. Nigga, we still repping the East Coast.
He kind of like paved a new lane with his album Marsburg a couple of years ago. His new album, RR2, The Bitter Dose, is great. It's just phenomenally put together and produced record. Him and Ka.
Can't be pussy in a dog fight. The law don't forgive what the Lord might. Before it stops, pull up for shots till the score right. My boys in the tears, but they ain't ball, they all strike. Slow plays, no days, all night. The war rays, force blaze on sight. Shot for the stars, I'ma reach in one day. Left for dead, start moving rocks like Easter Sunday. Trying to get fly on a slide, peep the runway.
Are like kind of in this like quiet minimalist thing. It's almost like it's not because of this. I've made sure to do my research, and they do record in real studios. It's like making hip hop in your apartment, and you want your neighbors not to hear it. Like it's this. It's like it's under the breath and kind of understated.
Yeah.
So they have their whole lane, and then two artists that I think are kind of under listened to are Wiki.
What you want from me? Tired of the fuckery conspiring. You don't hear the violin, try again. I ain't crying, but I'm piloting the man. This is Icarus, I'm sick of it. I'm done trying to get to the sun. So I'm flying in and I am him. Before I start rioting within, only violence that he did was on him. So I'm wilding and I'm wilding and I'm wilding and I'm winding on it.
Who was from the group Rat King and represents a kind of like, like he's missing his two front teeth. He's like wiling out on record. He hangs with Your Old Droog, who's another NY rapper who's kind of like a classic punchline MC, who I'm a fan of. And Edon, like Edon does a bunch of his beats, and we're all huge Edon fans, even though he's from Boston. He's lived in Brooklyn for the last couple of years. And then an artist who I feel is really misunderstood is Mr. Motherfucking Esquire.
Lip colossal, hollows will make you sing the gospel. Hostile with any fossil who think they stopping my bossa. Lip lava apostle, twisting pasta and Ferragamo. Camera radiated, my rage inflated as possible. The flaming gospel got you, snatch the lame out you. Brain on the A train, my nuts banging the top. And I could give a fuck if she militant, a 9-to-5 bitch or a hood rat hoe who don't give a shit.
I'm a huge fan of his, he got pigeonholed as like this hipster rapper because of Huzzah, which is a great song and like speaks to a lot of different kind of constituencies, but he's had 2 to 3 projects since then. He's a really dense lyrical MC.
Right. He got kind of death racist
kind of
game.
That's his Pizza Hut, Taco Bell or whatever, he has tons of other good songs.
He's a good rapper. He goes on runs and it's very technical.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's like kind of into like anime and video games. Like he's like a weird thug nerd hybrid.
I think LP produced one of his songs, or maybe an EP or something as well. So I mean, he's tied into it
totally. So that's kind of my little list. I think if definitely check out the new Rock Marciano. It just dropped on streaming platforms. Ka is not for everyone, but if you like the quiet stuff and like the kind of he's like if Ghost Dog was actually a rapper and not a character in a Jim Jarmusch movie. Like it's just so interesting. Okay. And coincidentally, he's a captain in the New York Fire Department.
Of course.
He had this whole like secret life as a rapper, and the New York Post tried to out him and be like, he's a rapper and he's promoting all this bad stuff, and like no one gave a single shit. Like everyone in New York has a side hustle. Everyone in New York has like this hip hop flow, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, Wiki from Rat King, but now he's on his own, and Mr. MF Esquire.
Nice.
Okay. Mr. Ma, your New York state of mind.
Yeah, dude, unfortunately, Nate pretty much took my list. I was gonna say Rock Marcy with the new album, Rosebud's Revenge, Part 2. I mean, it's a mix of library records, right? It's so textured. Mm. And he has this sort of like slow delivery. It's very like claustrophobic, sort of almost paranoid type raps. Mm. It's great though. It works really well with his voice. And the other one I was going to go with was Ka as well. I mean, this sort of slow, it's hard to be minimal. I think it's easy in this age to just be lush and just throw every sample and layer everything on Pro Tools. But to just have super minimal beats where it's like one bass lick and in a snare, and you're just crafting these like dense narratives over it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest. And I mean, and his whole history with Ka, specifically speaking, being working for the New York Fire Department. I mean, how more New York can you get?
That story,
totally.
You know, NYFD and you're a rapper. So those would be my two picks. Unfortunately, sorry for the redundance here. Literally my two picks.
Okay. Well, I think that's there is this lo-fi minimal wave that somebody on our Twitter feed pointed out was what gave 444 its original texture, and folks kind of pointing to, hey, you know, Ka and Rock were doing that that type of style. No low end, you know, almost like if you just played the record and cats rapped over it, which, I'm all for. My New York Now guy would be Dave East.
These niggas can't smoke or can't drink with me. The realest a lot coming meet with me. I'm in your city, bad bitches gon' link with me. First class, I don't check bags. I just carry on all this Louis shit. Get your wife, she on some groupie shit. I found me a bad and a bougie bitch. I jump out the wagon with hooligans. I ain't fall back, but I'm back in the mood again. I dropped out of class, don't need tutoring. That's 600, I'm maneuvering.
Okay. Who's kind of Nas prodigy. I think he does the New York trap thing really well and keeps it New York. I think ASAP goes a little far for me. Like it feels a little forced, where I feel like, that's you guys trying to kind of imitate something. With Dave East, he's still kind of, you get this feeling he's in front of the bodega, kind of that, you know, it's still Tim Boot rap, but it's not afraid to kind of use some of the trap influences to give it its girth, but he's still spitting bars. Like, it's nothing. There's no garbly, gobbly type of stuff. He's still spitting bars. And apparently, he was a baller. Like, he used to really play basketball and claims to have dunked on Kevin Durant one time when they were doing AAU stuff.
That is not easy to do.
Yeah. He's like, oh, it was a long time ago. But but I really like his stuff. He's got a new new joint out called Peter Pan.
He 37, think he 22. His mother work, he played a crib, just polishing his 22. That all. Plus he eat up all the food, but never grocery shop. Acting like he out looking for a job, but he know he not. He know the gossip, he know what happened when Chad got locked up. He know who beefing, like every weekend is being pop up. He keep making promises, he going help her. He never felt a hard time dealing with pressure.
Which is kind of... his signature style is these really dense New York stories. Mm. So on Peter Pan, he's talking about guys who go to jail, come back home, and don't have shit, and are sleeping on a mattress at their mom's house and don't have a key, and are trying to talk to the new guys about how to hustle.
Interesting.
And he's like, you know, some motherfuckers never grow up. I call him Peter Pan. And he kind of, it's like a 5-minute joint where he tells these really dense narratives, very Illmatic-ish. Like, he's kind of got that, and he's been kind of spoken as Nas's protege. So I'm really feeling his stuff. You guys got me into to Rock Marciano, who I was not checking for. And again, it's just kind of this, I think New York is at its best when it's being New York. Like, it's, you know, when they're embracing the uniqueness of who they are. I took my children to New York for the first time in 2016. And they just had a ball with people's accents.
Sure.
There's a guy in Sylvia's up in Harlem who didn't get enough biscuits, and he straight up sounded like DMX. Where are my motherfucking biscuits, son? And he was just wilding. Right. And it's nothing. It's like this really caustic way that people relate to each other in New York. And my kids just had a ball with it. They're like, oh my goodness, this is so fun. Like, people are so crazy.
Yeah.
And I think rap that encapsulates that is what I really dig. This isn't new. My second one is not new, but I thought Jadakiss and Fabulous's record was really good.
Yeah.
Like, in its New Yorkness. Yeah. It was unapologetic, New York, you know, Swiss Beats does a lot of the work. It's all sample based. It's all, you know, it's Timbo's and all that type of shit. So I love New York being New York, and I hope that that's a wave that's kind of coming back.
I think a part of the reason that even if it's not the center of the universe, New York always stays relevant is because the radio shows are based there.
Yeah.
It's like everybody has to go access, do press
right.
in New York, so you get a lot of your freestyles and stuff like that.
And, I mean, a lot of the guys live there. You know, like DITC is still living there making records.
Yeah.
You know, that's how New York is fuck.
Totally. So.
Yeah. But, you know, I think there was a point where we kind of got beat over the head with New York chauvinism. I think Fat Joe was definitely kind of a moment where I know we on the West Coast were like, okay, enough already.
A lot of people can rap.
Yeah, like you can't push this guy on us.
Yeah.
And in the B+ interview that was on Oliver Wang's Heat Rock show, which is amazing, please check that out. He talks about Fat Joe getting booed off stage at the Good Life, which I was like,
yeah, that's crazy.
Wow, like that's you know.
That's well-deserved.
Well-deserved. But, you know, there was a guy, remember when Papoose was coming up? And people were like, he's the next thing. I think that's when I knew New York was no longer
this is the best you
the
got.
Thing. Right. I was like, you know what? Nobody's fucking with this.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to Papoose, by the way.
I just think it's so, like, when you go to, we talked a little bit about this at the top, but just to reiterate, when you go to New York, everybody's hip-hop.
Right.
Yeah, it's like the kids sounds like plumbers in the mafia. Totally.
Everyone
is like
game.
Dirty. Like, yeah, everyone's shoes are tight. Like, there's hip hop just bursting out of car windows.
Totally.
Dave and I went to New York a couple of years ago, and we actually spent the day apart with our significant others, and I met Action Bronson walking down the street, and he met Rock Marciano walking down the street.
The most different New streets. York
yeah,
shit.
There's rappers coming out of the bushes over there, dude. It's just
different,
like,
literally. Different streets.
Coming out of the Bushwicks over there.
Excuse me. Yeah, I saw Fab Five Freddy in a restaurant, and I was struggling to help my kids understand who that was and why that mattered. But,
totally.
But yeah, that's New York. You know, long live New York, and we hope to hear more grimy shit in the future. Dead by Rap Pod.
Mm-hmm.
great Baten from Slum Village. Fuck this rap shit. I listen to classical. At the top of this segment, you heard a little snippet of Nas's concert at the Kennedy Center, where he performed with a big ass orchestra. I can't remember.
The National Symphony
Orchestra. The National Symphony Orchestra, and did his entire album, Illmatic. And it was on PBS. And I remember when it came out, I kind of had mixed feelings about it.
Agreed.
I was kind of almost afraid to engage with it because, you know, anything Illmatic related, I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want anything to besmirch my Illmatic experience. And so,
like, so many people told me that Illmatic cover album was good, that the guy from Detroit did Illmatic.
Oh, Elzai.
Elzai did it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And our friend Alan Overflow is a huge fan of that. And he's like, you really should listen to it. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to. One, hip hop covers are weird. And two, like, I'm just trying to back up what you were saying. I have my own set of references and how I feel about Illmatic. Mm-hmm. And I don't want it to become clouded.
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm not going to see the Cirque du Soleil Beatles show.
Right.
Like, I don't want to think about a dude doing 10 backflips.
Illmatic on Ice. Yeah. Coming to the SAP Center, to a theater near you. Yeah, so it's a couple things. It's that thing where Illmatic is kind of this pristine, really a perfect album.
Right. And transcends hip-hop.
Yeah, so I kind of was afraid to engage with it on that level. And then there's this other piece around, man, should we be excited about the Kennedy Center's embrace of hip-hop?
Right.
So in addition to doing this, Nas concert is actually part of a whole movement they're doing around documenting hip-hop culture.
Mm-hmm.
And they've assembled this fucking Masters of the Universe, Super Friends panel that they're calling the Hip-Hop Council to kind of help curate it, which includes Bobito, Q-Tip, LL Cool J, I'm forgetting there's a couple of other.
Two Roots, Questlove and Black Thought, Ninth Wonder, Fab Five Freddy. I thought this was so weird. Grant Hill?
Yeah.
Did they need someone to pay for stuff?
That's ridiculous.
What do you mean, Grant Hill?
Grant Hill.
For a mid-range game? they need somebody who can play D and.
He's going to F around and get a triple-double.
Okay.
MC Light, Grandmaster Caz, their tip of the hat to the old school.
Sure.
DJ J period, which I'm kind of like, how did he get in this?
Wow.
He's Black Thought's
homie. Black Thought's DJ, but then that kind of makes it Three Roots.
Totally.
That's
totally.
Okay.
Okay.
They already have a day job, but I digress. Jason King, who's a PhD, and Kierna Mayo. Okay. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. That's the squad.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess my whole issue with it is, you know, you see Nas in a suit, you see violin players, and it's like, you're supposed to think it's all of a sudden legitimized.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, no, all of a sudden Illmatic has arrived. It's like, no, it arrived the day it came out.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so it's this sort of like false narrative, I think. And
this weird
and on top of that, I don't think it sounds as good. I mean, I think hip hop sounds best as samples.
Yeah.
But again, that's just a personal sort of take on it.
Yeah,
notice to the roots.
I was underwhelmed, I guess, with the Nas at the Kennedy Center thing, being that with that many instruments, it was okay.
Right.
It was okay. Nothing sounded like huge. I'm like, at my best case scenario for it was like something more huge and lush than the record itself.
And didn't Jay-Z just do that? Didn't he just perform with an orchestra in a suit as well, like a couple years ago? And I had the same feelings, like,
really?
Oh, this all of a sudden legitimizes Jay-Z,
right.
You know?
I had a couple of thoughts. I thought it was interesting, like, you cannot recreate hip-hop with just symphonic instruments.
Mm-hmm.
They had an electric bass player
sure.
and two guys playing regular drum kits,
in
also with all the timbales and the classical percussion.
Right.
I'd like to point out that I'm a classical music expert because I watched the show Mozart in the Jungle. Just literally my only interaction with classical music. I'm way undereducated on this subject. But
sure.
Anyway, the beats don't hit.
No.
Right.
Like,
no.
When the beat drops on New York State of Mind, on Illmatic, it's an iconic moment. You are, like, sucked into this world.
Right.
It's so incredibly produced and engineered. And when he kind of goes into that canonical narrative about rappers are monkey flipping with the funky rhythm. It hits so hard. You're just like, it's the best thing ever.
Totally.
And when he did it with the orchestra, it didn't hit like that. Yeah, it just didn't sound
right.
And
then there's that space between him and the crowd. It's just, it's too spacious.
Yeah. I will say, a surprising amount of big Nas fans in the crowd.
Yeah,
like,
I would have thought they were with it.
They were singing along.
They were with it. But at the end of the day, couldn't you have achieved something similar, even better, with a cool five-piece jazz unit?
100%.
You know what I mean? Right, like if he was just with the Roots,
Exactly.
You could have got something heavier, more true to the record's nature. And it kind of made me think about the timeless J Dilla tribute record, which I really like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sweet for Ma Dukes.
Mm-hmm. The Sweet for Ma Dukes, kind of in that I think they understood the low-end percussive elements a little bit mm-hmm. better.
That was arranged by Miguel Atwood Ferguson.
Yeah,
I think he understands hip-hop sonics a little bit better than the National Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah. So it was...
He's of the culture, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
And these guys are like clearly trying to adapt it. Right. And I thought they slogged their way through. More melodic beats sounded better.
Totally. And to have like, you know, an orchestra of like 50 pieces is sort of like counterintuitive to hip hop
right.
mm-hmm. when you're making, you know, an entire song out of 4 seconds of sample time on the SP.
Right.
You know, it's almost superfluous.
I do think in our lifetime, especially with this council that Q-Tip is convening, and I would like to say Q-Tip is the perfect person.
Right. At least Q-Tip's
leading
on
this.
That.
Yeah, there's real cats involved.
Yes. Yeah. That perhaps we'll get to the point where they don't need to be kind of like co-signed by the orchestra. They could just perform their work as it should meant to be said and have it be accepted as high art, right?
Right.
Like,
sure, right.
We're trying to do this podcast and in all of our kind of journalistic work and your own work, Damone, we're trying to interface with hip-hop as it is and celebrate it as high art.
100%.
Like, that ethos will kind of bleed into the Academy.
Yeah.
Eventually, I think. I'd like to think.
It's 2018, though. It's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
You still need to put a penguin suit on someone to make it legit.
To make it legit? Yeah. To get on PBS.
Yeah, to make Illmatic legit.
Yeah, to get on PBS. No, I'm approaching this, I guess, from an interesting perspective because I've actually done a couple of recent collaborations with classical musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my homegirl, Chelista, who's an incredible cello player, who's invited me to kind of sit in with her group called Juxtapositions and do these interesting kind of, I hate the word, but mashups. And I think there's a difference between classical music trying to recreate something hip-hop and doing an actual hybrid. Mm-hmm. So in the songs that we did, and maybe we'll play some of this shit at the end of the episode, the song that we did, there was no percussion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's her playing cello and there's violins and violas and I'm kind of, you know, doing my thing within that context. And it's not necessarily saying that this is a recreation of hip hop. It's saying we're trying to do something else and something different. And that thing is always exciting to me. As opposed to the recreation, like the kids bopping of something that was already perfect.
Yeah. Right.
Like, Illmatic is perfect.
Right.
What are we doing?
I will say there aren't a ton of precedents for classical even samples in hip hop, but the one that really stands out is Moose Bumps on Dr. Octagon.
Automator.
Yeah. Automator slayed that.
Yeah,
I love that.
Okay.
I think it's a Bach figure that he loops and puts drums underneath it, and it's just really funny. It's like it's kind of a skit actually, because the whole Cool Key thing at the end where, you know,
they do that in Handsome Boy too with like the little Vivaldi.
Yes.
A little violin and drums.
Automator play violin as a kid?
He did.
He's kind of steeped in classical culture.
100%.
Okay. I feel like if anybody understands that and has like flipped it pretty well, it's him.
100%. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know this track, but Antipop Consortium on their second album had this song called Mega.
Of course.
Where there's like an opera break. They've kind of been forgotten to the sands of time. I was like a really big fan
them.
Of theirs. Yes.
Beans was interesting.
Totally. He had some solo work that's compelling as well. But that little opera part always kind of struck me as well. I thought that was cool, but I seemed to be
like
alone on that island.
Too, though.
Yeah.
I know there was Busta Rhymes. Oh, I wish I could think of the song. It was one of his songs, Give Me Some More, where they do the theme from Psycho, which is like a weird violin thing, and actually Dave East uses it on his new record. I think there's opportunities. Strings in and of themselves create tension.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So you can create a wild tension with strings that I don't know has been fully explored. I think it's where you get into trouble is that classical shit wasn't necessarily meant to be syncopated like that.
Right.
And I think hip-hop at its core is percussive music.
Right.
It's there's something to the syncopation of the music. Yeah. Classical moves and movements. Working with these classical musicians, I'm kind of sitting there in the rehearsal, and they'll go from 4-4 time to 5-8 time to 6-8 time.
Right. Yeah.
And it's on this kind of, and I'm like, I'm completely lost. I don't know where the fuck y'all are at.
Wait until you guys get back to 3-4.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, make a groove, call me up. But it's so I think, you know, trying too hard to meld the two is where you kind of get into this weird zone where you can get something that doesn't represent the best of either.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm giving a little pause. Hopefully the Hip Hop Council at Kennedy Center will keep shit real. I guess they're going to be doing a screening of Wild Style coming up and some more, you know, less like, hey, mainstream America, listen to Nas. I was cracking up because he's just dropping N-word bombs
the whole time. It seemed like he censored some of his other phrasings.
Yeah, it did.
But he was definitely using the N-word.
Mm-hmm. All over it. I'm just like, word, PBS?
Yeah, we're just you can going say that? With that.
Yeah.
Also, like, was AZ busy that night? Like, how cool would that have been? Kind of a crowning career moment for him if he 100%. Got to come out, right?
Yeah. That's my grand closing for AZ is his verse on Life's a Bitch.
I like other stuff too, but that's clearly his pinnacle.
Yeah. So you know, again, I don't know that I need to see Nas in a penguin suit.
Right.
Maybe America does. I mean, I don't know.
America likes Hamilton. I mean,
if you get our lost Easter egg episode, you can get our thoughts. You can get our thoughts on Hamilton. But it is very much, I think, in that vein. I think if Hamilton doesn't come along, they don't even try this shit.
There was a part where there were times where clearly he self-censored, and then there were times where the show censored.
Sure.
And one of the times was when he said, pissing in your elevator.
Nice.
And Lucia, my wife, leans over and goes, I bet if it was Hamilton, they would have let him say pissing.
Pissing on Mike Pence.
Yes, totally. Yes,
absolutely. Yeah, so I don't know. I'd be curious to see if that brought anybody over. If the inclusion of orchestra brought the Austin City Limits person who don't fuck with rap.
Right. Right.
Was there a spike in sales of Illmatic, you know?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I know probably that's what Nas was thinking.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I feel like that perspective is represented by that woman. I think she's like kind of a back of house person at the orchestra who's like, well, I heard we're going to be doing this, so I asked my son, did he have Illmatic? And he's like, yes. And so she's like, so now I just say, life's a bitch, and then you die. That's why we get high, because you never know when you're going to go. And then it like cuts to that part. She's
that's
like awesome. A 50-year-old white lady.
Oh,
that's
awesome.
That's amazing.
So bad.
That's awesome.
So bad. So in summary, fuck that shit. No.
Hip-hop does not need the Academy's validation.
Right.
Absolutely
right.
Not. If anything, the inverse is true.
Right.
The Academy needs hip hop to be relevant. And my hope is that the creators, progenitors of the culture can stay out in front of that and not become, you know, hip hop is the dead butterfly with a pen through it that Brainiacs are examining now to tell you what it's about. Like, we know what the fuck it's about.
Like, right.
It's the Brainiac dum-dums bust the scientific. I will say, Nas seemed really proud and really happy.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
so
totally true.
And when Nas is happy, I'm happy.
Exactly.
that's kind of how that works. Nas supposedly is supposed to have some type of new album.
Okay.
He always does.
He always does.
It's very interesting of his embrace of new shit. He's kind of that one... older rapper who's just like, nah, I fuck with Future and Young Thug, I'm all about it. I know you're a big Khaled fan, and so Nate on his new album.
That track you did with Khaled?
Yeah,
I did a review on it for Passion of the Whites.
Yeah,
it's
that's
fantastic.
Good.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how Nas kind of orients himself in this moment. I know some people won't like to say this, but I think he does take real notes from Jay-Z. On how you age into this shit and how you kind of position yourself in the culture to not be a fossil in doing this shit. So it'll be interesting. I've always been any real hip hop head. I've always been a huge Nas fan. So looking forward to what he has coming up. National Orchestra, not so much, but you know, that's just me apparently. Dad Bod Rap Pod. We want to thank you for listening to another dope episode of the Dad Bod Rap Pod. More fly conversation and interviews coming your way every week.
You can find the podcast on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/dadbodrappod. And we're always down to interact with you on Twitter at dadbodrappod, all spelled out.
Subscribe on Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes.